Before the pandemic, when we talked about air quality, we usually meant the air outside. Smog, smoke, pollution. But those conversations usually ended at the front door. The virus has made many of us think about indoor air quality in a whole new way, the Mountain West News Bureau's Maggie Mullen reports.
At the daycare center at the University of Wyoming, you see a lot of what you'd expect. Toys, books, cubbies for tiny shoes. And that's not all.
We've got air purifiers, we've got CO2 detectors.
That's Mark Bittner. He's in charge of this place. He says those machines were added to reduce the risk of catching COVID-19.
I just really needed to find a way to help mitigate. Okay, what can we do now that we know these things are airborne? We have kids that some of them are too young to wear masks, so what can we do to help protect the children, help protect the staff that are here a little bit better?
The daycare's HVAC system got a boost to recirculate air more frequently, and each classroom now has an air purifier. And then there's the CO2 device.
It's not measuring COVID in the air, it's just measuring CO2 levels.
Here's why that's useful. CO2 is what we breathe out, so if there's a lot of it in a room, the air isn't fresh. You're more likely to breathe in the same air someone else just breathed out. And if the CO2 detector shows numbers on the higher end, Bittner says it's still not as if an alarm goes off.
It's not a panic, it's just find ways to move the air a little bit better.
Like opening a window or turning on a fan. These kinds of mitigation efforts happened all over the country as people were thinking hard about indoor air, many for the very first time.
As a result, most of us in this field have been working nonstop.
That's Shelley Miller, a professor of mechanical engineering at the University of Colorado Boulder.
To try to communicate, provide interviews, write articles, put stuff on Twitter, just like any way we can possibly get the word out.
Get the word out about indoor air quality. Miller says historically, people have paid way more attention to the air outside. And even that started not so long ago.
We only realized in the 1950s that air pollution could kill you because of the London outbreak.
She's talking about the Great Smog of 1952, 5 days of disastrous air pollution, thanks to unusually frigid and windless weather combined with pollution from burning coal. Here's how the BBC described it.
The sky and the light were blotted out, and London coughed and crawled almost to a standstill in murky yellow gloom.
The Great Smog shut down the city and caused thousands of deaths, and it spurred the UK's Clean Air Act of 1956. People realized that if we want clean air, the government needs to regulate it. And just as importantly, Miller says it gave way to thinking about outdoor air as a public good, something we all share. But she says we haven't come around to that kind of thinking for indoor air.
What's happened with indoor air is that it's become a private good. This is your home. This is your space. The government is not going to invade your space or your home or your office building.
But better air quality at home can keep you healthy in a number of ways, filtering allergens, dust, as well as pathogens that make you sick. It's possible the COVID-19 pandemic could trigger change the way the Great Smog did. It could be a paradigm shift for indoor air. In fact, 39 scientists are calling for just that in a recent report published in the journal Science. Miller and her CU Boulder colleague and aerosol expert Jose Luis Jimenez are two of those researchers.
So our society has been very successful at removing pathogens from water or from food. And they are very, complex, sophisticated systems that work very, very well.
But Jimenez says we're not there yet with indoor air.
Something our society just hasn't done it.
Jimenez and others say it's time for that change. The group of researchers wants to see standards for indoor air quality that include airborne pathogens and that are enforced. But that doesn't all have to be complicated or even expensive. He says it can be as simple as plugging in a $100 CO2 detector and, if need be, opening a window. For Here Now, I'm Maggie Mullen.